You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with the Dallas Morning News. Here again today with our special guest, Levi Weaver. We talk a little bit about Nate Lowe, talk a lot about Ronald Guzman, what the season's going to look like, and also a message of hope, very importantly, in these times. Just great to catch up with Levi, such a very great and talented baseball writer. So glad that he covers the Rangers and just getting to talk baseball with anybody in these very far away from baseball times, or at least it feels like that, is just nice, special treat. But before you get into this episode, you guys want to know about this very special new podcast that Locked On is opening. It's called Locked On Today. Here is what I have to say about this very special podcast. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with our analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports and news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Now, without further ado, here's part two of my talk with Levi Weaver of The Athletic about the Rangers, Ronald Guzman, and all kinds of good stuff. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Nate Lowe trade, because I know you wrote up about Nate Lowe and they said that they expect him to be the starting first baseman when the season rolls around or sometime eventually. But Ronald Guzman has had something to say about that in the Dominican Winter League. He won the MVP. He has been batting phenomenally. He has a 973 OPS in, 30 games, 131 plate appearances, which, you know, isn't a lot, but it's not nothing. And I was taking a look at his numbers from when he got sent down in 2019 to AAA. He looked excellent in that time. 30 games in that time, OPS over 900.
Are you talking about September when he got back, or are you talking about in the minor leagues?
In the minors.
Okay.
And then a little bit this year. He had one of the highest OPSs of Rangers hit, which was 750 in 26 games this year, which, you know, it doesn't blow anybody away, but like, It's better than like what the rest of people are doing. And since then, yeah. I feel like he has gotten back to more the hitter he was in the minor leagues, a guy who wasn't as focused on selling out for that power, which he should have naturally, because he's what, 6'10" or whatever, and gigantic. But like, he's become more of a polished hitter. He looked more comfortable with the plate, and I feel like he's poised to actually like do something at the big league level. Not like be a superstar, not be a Mark Teixeira or whatever, but being a pretty solid major league first baseman and getting a few years out of him while you're in the rebuild, I feel like that's a valuable thing, which is why I didn't like the Nate Lowe trade. It just confused me of trading these guys who are in your lower minors when you're in clearly the middle of a rebuild. They're not coming out of the end anytime soon, I don't think. But trading three guys in their teens that could end up being pretty good prospects and being taken by the Rays, who have better scouts than you do and better development people than you do. And if they say, we like those guys, you should probably hold on to those guys, just as a general rule, trading with the Rays.
That's funny. The Rangers actually have a similar reputation, too, of being like, if the Rangers want your guy, maybe you should hold on to that guy. But, I mean, you're not wrong that the Rays are near the top of the league in scouting and development and all of this. I can't help but be reminded of Hanser Alberto, when he led the winter league in batting average that one winter, and like everyone went, oh man, like this guy, he finally figured it out. He turned the corner. And then the Rangers ended up letting him go in waivers. And then he ended up hitting like 300 for the Orioles. And it's just a terror against left-handed pitching. And not that Alberto was ever going to be a star, right? Like he's free agent right now. So the Orioles clearly,
they are doing
their own thing. Huh?
I said, hashtag bring him home.
Yeah, right. Maybe he could be the second baseman. Certainly would hit left-handed hitters better than the incumbent, but or left-handed pitchers better than the incumbent. But this is not Guzman's first time to have a big winter league, right? Like he had a good winter league, not last year. I think the year before his OPS, if I remember, and this is off the top of my head, so I could be wrong.
No, you're right. 2018-19 Gigantes, he had an OPS of 877, hit 341, on base of 438. So
yeah. So it's not, this is not unprecedented what he's doing, and this is the you know, 2018 he came up and there was so much potential. 2019 he looked as bad at the plate as I've seen maybe anyone look in the big leagues. He just looked, I mean, he admitted, he said, I still remember we were in Houston just before he got sent down, and he was just sort of, you know, you learn body language, and when a guy is just like shaking his head and he's like, I feel lost right now, is what he said. And I was like, that's tough to hear somebody admit that, but
yeah,
at least he's being honest, right? Got sent down, and that was really disappointing for somebody that the Rangers expected to kind of like take a step forward from 2018. Right? He came up and there was that night that he hit 3 home runs at Yankee Stadium, and like, I mean, there was a lot of hope there. When he came back in September, his numbers were better, and like you said, he was good at the minor leagues, but a lot of the, you know, there's the old axiom in baseball, you never evaluate a guy based on March or September, because in March they're playing against minor leaguers in spring training, and in September a lot of the times they're playing against guys who are on the 40 but are just called up for the late season, you know, September call-up. So so yeah, 2020 rolled around, there was the competition between him and Greg Bird, kind of a similar situation with the Yankees, had come up and had a really good campaign, and then his thing was that he couldn't stay healthy. And then neither guy won the job. They just, you know, Guzman spent an entire winter working with Nelson Cruz and came into camp feeling great and just didn't look good at the plate again. And so I don't know. It's tough because Guzman's one of the, as a baseball writer, like, they tell you when you first come in, like, okay, you're not a fan anymore. Obviously there's no cheering in the press box, and they'd say, you know, it'll wear off your fandom pretty quick. And that is 100% true. You know, it becomes, you become more objective. You have to. Otherwise, you just become an arm of PR for the team. So you have to just sort of set that aside. And like, I would not describe myself as a quote unquote Rangers fan. I cover the Rangers. That's my job, to be objective and honest. Readers need to be able to trust that I am telling you the truth and not just what I've been told by a team official who is trying to make the Rangers look good. That's the job. At the same time, you do find yourself rooting for people. There are people who are good guys who, you know, there are guys in the clubhouse who are jerks who, and I get it. It is probably annoying to have us in there in the clubhouse every day. And I understand it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be that way, but there are guys that don't. It's less now than stories that I've heard from the 80s, right? Guys are better about this now, but there are guys who genuinely don't like you simply because you're in the room. They don't, you know, you're a reporter, therefore I don't care about anything, you know, who you are. I'm not trying to get to know you. You are literally just an annoyance in my life. Get out. There are other guys who treat you like a human being and genuinely engage and are nice people and people that you want to see succeed in life. And that goes out, that transcends baseball. Guzman is one of those guys that you want to see succeed. He's a joyful guy. He seems to have a lot of fun playing baseball when he's not lost at the plate. You look at him interact with his teammates and it seems like he's a good friend to his teammates. He seems like good people. And so you want people like that to succeed. All of that to say, like, it pains me to say that Guzman has maybe run out of chances. And that sucks because I want to see him succeed. And I would rather the clubhouse be full of people like Ronald Guzman than to not. But I just don't see how he makes this team unless somebody gets injured, Bryce. Like, there are not DH at bats available, right? They signed David Dahl. So Willie Calhoun is going to be the DH. Guzman doesn't play anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like he can play first base and Lowe can play DH. Now, I think Lowe has played a little bit of third base in the minor leagues.
A little bit in the major leagues too. Not very much, but
okay. So maybe that's the window. Maybe Guzman comes to camp and we get it the reverse of last year, right? Where it was supposed to be either Guzman or Bird at first base and Todd Frazier would be the starting third baseman. And then all of a sudden here comes Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He takes the third base job. Nobody takes the first base job and Frazier slides over to first. Do we run into that situation this year where like nobody takes the third base job? Elvis struggles or gets hurt. Odor struggles or gets hurt. You know, nobody really takes it. So, and Guzman comes in and continues his Winter League hot streak and just tears up the Cactus League. Does Nate Lowe slide over to third base for a year and let Guzman play first? Maybe. But that's literally the only thing that I can think, because he's out of options. They can't send him to the minor leagues. He doesn't play anywhere but first base. What, are they going to keep a second first baseman as one of their bench bats? Probably not.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why would you endure all the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your car an LX or an EX or all kinds of other stuff you don't know that much about cars? Then RockAuto.com has you covered. They are the perfect place to go for people who are self-made mechanics, people like me who don't know all that much about cars. My grandfather would be very disappointed because he worked on cars, but he didn't teach me all he knew about cars, so I just trust that RockAuto.com has me covered. They are a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need from a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Their catalog is so unique, it's so easy to use. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose from the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. These are good people, and they know they have you covered on those low prices, and they're the same for pros or do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much on the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right, locked on, in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag. Are y'all ready for some football? We are nearing the end. We are close to the Super Bowl. We've got all kinds of good playoff matchups. We've also got NBA going on. We've also got NHL going on. We've got college basketball, all kinds of stuff. And you can get in on the action. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, there's only one place that we trust that has you covered. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Now, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So, I don't know. It's rough, but I keep looking at Pittsburgh as a good fit. They just traded Josh Bell. They could use a first baseman. I think right now they're looking at Colin Moran maybe as their first baseman.
Guzman's no idea who that is.
Yeah, he came over from the Astros in the trade. I think he came over in the trade for Gerrit Cole. Joe Musgrove, I think, was involved in that trade, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. Guzman's probably an upgrade over Moran. Moran could play third base there, maybe. I don't know. They've also got that Brian Hayes, I think, plays third base. So who knows if that. But yeah. But that might be a spot. There are always teams in need of, you know, a left-handed bat, especially if he stays hot. And maybe the Rangers, if he gets hot, maybe they use that to maximize his trade value. I don't know. Yeah, I'm rambling now about Ronald Guzman.
Hey, it feels that way. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a guy I've been, like, you've been seeing around for the minors. I mean, he was signed to that big deal. He's a guy who the Rangers have believed in for a long, long time. I mean, with the pairing of Mazzara, both those guys were, what, the two highest given international signing bonuses for
of that year, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they were part of the reason why the whole international signing bonus thing got restructured. And so, I mean, the Rangers have bet on him for a long time. He had that incident down in the Dominican where he ended up hitting a guy, and there was all kinds of legal battles. Ended up not being his fault because the other guy was he passed away, and that was
right.
That
okay,
was
really so just to clarify for listeners that don't know, it's not he didn't like punch a guy. It was a car accident. There was a guy that was on a motorcycle who had been drinking. It was Guzman was not at fault in the car accident, but yeah, the guy passed away pretty immediately. And that was a very rough. He ended up going to live with Nomar Mazzara at that point. Mm-hmm. He's been through a lot,
and it just feels like he's still so young, even though he's been around for so long. I mean, he's only 25, turning 26, and this year. But yeah, it's just kind of a weird place to be, or just turned 26, I should say, in October.
Okay. So yeah, but I mean, that's the age, right? Like, that's the sort of make or break age where you either hit your potential or you don't, but there's not a whole lot of teams that are going to let a prospect, like, it's not a prospect anymore. He's out of options, right? you don't get to be a prospect until you're 30. This is a big year for him. And
that's just,
I just
for,
don't know.
That's just for baseball though, right? You can be a prospect for other things until after you're 30, just for myself.
I didn't start my career as a baseball writer until, say, I did some blogging at the age of 35 and started full time at age 36. So yeah, you can be a prospect for a lot of things. I'm probably still in the prospect range for
I think you're still arbitration eligible.
Like mall walking? Are there mall walking leagues that I could be a?
I think so. I don't know if there's that many that are professional, but there's definitely some competitive ones.
Yeah. So I could still consider myself a prospect there. At 41.
You definitely got some time to grow into your prime there as a mall walker. But I believe in you. You've definitely got potential there.
Thanks.
But while we're talking about Nate Lowe, we talked about Nate Lowe without actually talking about Nate Lowe. And
right.
I don't know. The thing is, he might be a fine player, but I just don't know that much about him. And he seems like a guy with potential. He's done a few things with the Rays, and I don't know. It's just, he felt like kind of a fourth wheel or whatever. They couldn't really win the job their first baseman are fine, but not that electric. And so my confusion is, like, why are they trading for a guy who, like, couldn't win the job from
somebody? Couldn't be G-Man Choi.
Yeah. As much as I love G-Man Choi.
Right. Career 251 batting average in the big leagues. I don't know. I didn't really get a good sense from Tampa Bay, from anybody that I talked to, about why Tampa Bay was not willing to sort of let him take the reins there. And I mean, his minor league numbers are good, and talking to guys that played with him. I talked to Nick Solak when the trade happened, and Solak was like, there was a year that they spent together in Double A, and he's like, I've never seen a better hitter in my life than Nate Lowe was in Double A that year. So I guess all the scouting reports indicate that he is going to hit. And really, at first base, that's the other thing about Guzman, is like, his thus far, his primary value to the team has been defensively. He is an exceptional defensive first baseman. Unfortunately, you know, you look at how much WAR is added by first baseman, like, it's not a position that really values defense all that much. That's, you know, you're looking at shortstop and center field. If you were an above average or exceptional shortstop or center fielder, then you can get by with hitting a little bit less. At first base, the defense, really, you catch the balls that are thrown to you and try and not let the really hard screaming line drives get by you. But even those are less frequent than they are at first base. A lot of it really is just catch a ball that's thrown to you. And well, Guzman does that better than just about anybody, being able to do the splits, being able to be, I think he's listed at 6'5". I think he's probably closer to 6'7".
Oh, absolutely.
His ability to just stretch up and get a ball that would go over somebody else's head, it's really great. But how often does that come into play in a situation that's going to save you a ball game? But not enough to account for a bat that has been subpar so far. Mm-hmm. And so Lowe is not considered, I don't think, he's a perfectly passable defensive first baseman. He does fine. But if he's going to hit, then that's really what a first baseman needs to do. And so I don't know why he didn't really get that opportunity in Tampa. I think some of it was that they didn't think he could hit left-handed pitching. But his minor league splits seem to indicate that he hit left-handed pitching fine. So I don't know. I don't know really what the Rangers saw that the Rays didn't. But they saw something. I mean, they were willing to give up a reasonably good package of prospects for him. So
yeah, absolutely. And that Double A season, I think you're talking about, is 2018 with the Montgomery Biscuits, which, elite name, absolutely elite,
right?
But 50 games, 225 plate appearances, slash line of 340, 444, slugging 606, so OPS, yeah, over 1,000. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. And so I get it that we're talking about two first basemen, one of which had that slash line in 2018 at Double A, and the other of which had a similar slash line in the Dominican Winter League this year, right? Which one of those guys is going to be the one to do it at the big league level is the question.
Yeah, that really is the question. But I don't know. I definitely think Lowe has more hitting potential, and that's always the thing with first basemen is they got to hit. And Guzzi, as much as we love him and as much as his defense has been elite, which, you know, I have some questions about how much how they should evaluate first base defense. I feel like it's a little more valuable. It's definitely undervalued in the models. But especially if you have, like, bad throwing fielders, which Odor ended up being sometimes, and we don't know who's going to be at third base, so maybe having a first baseman who could, who's got a reach of longer than a Condor, I think. And can scoop and do all that stuff. It we've seen it's valuable. I mean, when the Rangers were in their peak, they had elite defense everywhere. Like 2011, they had elite defenders at every single position. I mean, Mitch Moreland, Ian Kinsler, Elvis, Beltre, like that was a big part of how they did so well. I mean, granted, they hit the crap out of the ball. They didn't have super great pitching, but like great offense and great defense like can help mediocre pitchers. And I think they definitely did for quite a bit. But
everywhere but right field.
Everywhere but right field. My goodness. But yeah, this feels
sorry.
Like, I have one more thing to ask you about, just the general vibe. Because you know what it's like in a normal year, what baseball is supposed to feel like. And I just read your piece about things you're going to miss from the 2020 season, what you're looking forward to in 2021. Because this feels like the most dead time for baseball. And the time where, like, you know, as people who live baseball every day, you know, you don't really miss baseball as much in, like, November and December. But then once January rolls around, you're like, you know, I kind of miss baseball. But
right.
Were you there in spring training when everything started to go down? And at what point did you kind of realize that, like, okay, this season might not happen. Everything's getting weird. Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So I generally, my usual spring training schedule is that I'll try and be there for the beginning of it and be there for the end of it. But then I'll take a break in the middle because there's that sort of middle part where it gets really boring, right? The excitement of everybody like, hey, we're back, baseball, hey, goes away. You've been there a couple weeks already. These early mornings are wearing everybody out. But they haven't really started to make roster moves yet or make cuts yet. It's just we're just doing these drills. Maybe games have started, maybe they haven't. But even if they have started, starters are playing a couple innings tops, right? So I'll try and miss some of that. Because you're really not, it's a waste of time. So I left, I was coming home for a couple weeks anyway. I left, I think, I want to say less than a week before it shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, we were starting to get like conversations in the press room had started to come up like, hey, so this is kind of a big deal, right? Like, yeah, I think this might be a big deal. Hey, are they going to shut things down? I don't know. We haven't heard anything. And you get John Blake and he's like, yeah, you know, we haven't really decided yet. We don't know yet. We're aware of it. We're going to make some decisions. No decisions have been made yet. No decisions have been made. And, it got to the point that Chris Woodward was talking about being a member of the Toronto Blue Jays when the SARS outbreak happened and how, so it had come to people's attention. I think everybody thought it was probably going to maybe delay the start of the season a little bit, but I don't know. I kind of hoped that they were going to play through it a little bit. I knew it had the potential to be a big problem. I didn't realize what a big problem it had already become.
Yeah.
So I had a round trip ticket. Like the plan was to bring the kids out. My brother lives in Arizona. We were going to go hang out at spring break out there. And it was sort of this question of like, I don't know, do we still go? Like, and then baseball was like, okay, we're done. We're canceling this. We started to see the numbers really spread. We're like, oh, okay. So we're definitely not going back to Arizona. so yeah, that was when that all happened. That was mid March. And then, gosh, seems like it's been so long ago, but like we haven't done anything since then, so it just seems like a couple days ago,
right?
Yeah, man, weird. I don't know. As of right now, spring training is supposed to still happen on schedule. I haven't heard yet, and in fact, maybe we've got a Zoom call with John Daniels and Chris Young today. I assume that's probably part of what we're going to talk about is like, what is press availability going to look like? Is there any point in traveling back to Arizona for spring training, or you know, how's that all going to work? We don't know. So. Yeah, fingers crossed and prayers up for the vaccine.
Exactly. But with the games, I mean, do you travel at all? I mean, I'm assuming no. But just like
not at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely miss at least opening day in Kansas City. I assume if I can get a vaccination, I'll obviously be there at home games. My sincere hope is that I get to travel at some point in 2021, mm-hmm. whether that be, you know, after the All-Star break or what, I don't know. We'll see.
Are they even having an All-Star game this year? Or are they going to do the same thing as last year? Just kind of, or just like do what the NBA is doing and like just have a break and not have a game. Just like maybe announce the teams like, hey, you're an All-Star, you can't play, but you know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Man, how weird that they didn't even name an All-Star team in 2020, right?
Like, I know, right?
You'd think they would at least name a team. Because there are guys who, like, they would get extra incentive bonuses for being named an All-Star. Or, like, I don't know. That's weird that they didn't name a team. I assume there will at least be a team named in 2021. Well, I guess we'll have to see how things progress, whether they actually play the game or not.
Well, who knows what that's going to look like. But, you know, last time we were talking, you had a concert and that ended up happening. That was a great success. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to have a concert this year. Or I just hope we can see each other in person in 2021. Oh my gosh. You know, that's the dream.
That was not even a year ago. Like we're recording this on Friday. I don't know when it's going to hit the airwaves, but like a week from Sunday will be a year from when my concert was.
Good Lord. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been an absolute joy talking baseball, thinking about baseball, you know, enjoying your company. Just, you know, seeing a friend is nice in this day and age. But
yeah, any
final things to promote, any goodwill or messages of hope?
Yeah, hang in there, everybody. That's about all I got right now. Just hang in there. I'm not gonna foray into politics. So I'll just leave it at I am more hopeful now than I was in, I don't know, October or November. And I am it's weird. We're facing like these multiple things. Man, like the number of times I find myself just staring off into the distance, like no wonder, right? Like it's not just that we're having a pandemic. It's like we had one of the most fractious elections that we've ever had. And then we had this thing happen a couple weeks ago in Washington, D.C., where we're just like this unprecedented things happening. And like this is all happening at the same time. Like, no wonder we're all just so
on edge.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a combination of like sometimes on edge, but sometimes I'm just like zoning out in the middle of a sentence and just staring off into space. That's my message of hope, is that like, if you're staring off your space once in a while, you're not the only one. Yeah, me too. We're gonna get through this. Be kind. There it is. There it is. Be kind to each other as best you can. Try to understand that, you know, whatever you're going through, somebody else is going through it, and they're going through it differently, right? There are people. I've been fortunate enough not to lose family members, but I know that there are people who have literally lost family members this year, and there are people who are. Yeah, I think everybody is got heightened emotions right now. So be kind, understand that other people are going through it in a completely different way sometimes than you are, and give as much grace as you can. How about that?
Good. That's a good message of hope. I like that. It's better than what I had, is just enjoy baseball. That's all I get. It's just enjoy baseball. But, you know, that's going to do it for our episode. Levi, thank you so much for your time, being very generous with it, talking baseball and getting our mind off of weird things that we can't control or understand. But we can understand baseball sometimes. And, you know, that's what makes it fun. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball. Also, follow Levi on Twitter. If you're not, I don't know what the heck you're doing. On Twitter at @spellout32EFIS. Also subscribe to The Athletic. Read all of Levi's stories if you enjoy baseball and good stories. And occasionally stories about Rasputin, though not nearly as many now. But, you know.
Yeah, I have to be a professional.
That's so boring. But, you know, maybe just like throw the word Rasputin into a sentence. We'll all know what you're talking about. But
yeah, I mean, like a little hidden Easter egg that mm-hmm. just refuses to die. Ha, 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 get it? Okay.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. For realsies, thank you guys so much. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.